Kia ora, welcome, Peter.
Tēnā koe, Peana. How are you?
I'm very well, Peter, and I tell you what, I had such a thrill today. I was reading through the transcript of the presentation that you made to the Real Symposium, and it was so joyful. I loved a few things you you said, so I thought of you. But Peter, many of our listeners might not know you. Can you just, they may know you're Shane's brother and from Te Opoti, but I know you've got a complicated whakapapa.
Kia ora. Well, I don't know if it's that complicated, but my iwi affiliations are, of course, Te Opoti and Ngai Takoto from the very far north on my father's side. And on my mother's side, I'm Te Rārawa and Ngāti Kahu. So we're very much from the very far north. We're also part Croatian, and those are the Tarara gum diggers that, of course, married a Māori woman from the local iwi in Te Hiko o Te Ika. So there's a lot of mixed background in the very far north, and one of the famous people that shared that whakapapa was Mira Sazi, one that's very well known amongst Māoridom and internationally, of course, is our whare Nada Glavish. But that is certainly a dynamic mix, and that's the whakapapa.
Yeah. And you know, they seem to have mixed really well with Māoridom. You know, they just seem to blend in with us, and it just seems to have been a very happy partnership.
Yeah, well, they're warring people as well. They come from the Adriatic coast, and so our tupuna, his name was Andrea Kleskovic, and he came from Dubrovnik. Now, Dubrovnik is a walled city, and once upon a time was its own country, but it's surrounded by Bosnia and to the south Montenegro, but it is officially part of Croatia, but it's not part of the main landmass that is acknowledged as Croatia. It's kind of a little bit off to the side.
Gosh, have any of your whānau gone back there?
Last year, I spent a couple of weeks there in Dubrovnik, and I had the opportunity to visit the village that our tupuna left before he came to Aotearoa, New Zealand. And of course, he married our tupuna whaia, Irina Kaka, who came from Te Kau, and her father was a man by the name of Te Kiri, and her mother was a woman by the name of Aneta Marupo. Te Kiri was baptized by the missionaries as Hōhepa Kaka, and him and his brother Hupata Kaka were widely acknowledged as Opoti chiefs of that time. And that great-grandfather of ours, he lived to be 109 years old.
Wow.
So he was an important feature of the local Te Opoti and Ngai Takoto landscape, and very much a part of the lives of his mokopuna, those that knew him, and those, of course, that have learnt about him in my generation.
That's marvellous. Wow. I love it. I loved something you said, and you were talking about your mum and dad, and you know how they had a lot of children, and you said, I always say they were practicing for the perfect child, and they stopped when they got to me. They stopped when they got there. Mum and dad were having such a chuckle.
I always tease my brothers and sisters and remind them that there's a very famous saying out there in the big world, and it is that they save the best for last. And of course, they don't know what to say with me. And sometimes I think they'd like to chase me with a stick. But I run 5 kilometers every 3 or 4 days, Auntie, sometimes 2 days. And that keeps me healthy, but it helps me to digest information in new and interesting ways. A couple of years ago, I got told by the doctor that I had high cholesterol. And I was talking to my dad's sister, and she's 94, and she said to me, "Boy, you want to go for a bit of an exercise, you know, a bit of a brisk walk or a bit of a jog or a run every couple of days, and that'll help you with your cholesterol." So I took her advice, and things have vastly improved with the cholesterol, and I now almost have textbook blood pressure, apparently. So, I mean, you know, there's something to be said when we listen to our kuia and kaumātua. And that's really informed my mahi that I do with Te Whakaruruha o Ngā Reo Irirangi Māori. And, of course, Te Reo Irirangi o Te Hiko o Te Ika. And, you know, we're going to be having our AGM soon for Te Whakaruruha o Ngā Reo Irirangi Māori. We'll be having that at Radio Wātea on the 16th, Friday the 16th of June. And when I think back to when Te Whakaruruha o Ngā Reo Irirangi Māori was formed in 1991, by virtue of our organisation's Whakapapa, it's an organisation that's always been committed to the revitalisation of tikanga and te reo Māori. And, of course, the 1989 report of the Waitangi Tribunal on Y11, the te reo Māori claim, and the outcome of the 1994 Privy Council case regarding the sale of state-owned broadcasting assets. It had far-reaching consequences for Māori language and broadcasting. And so we're always reminded of where we came from. Born of struggle and systemic bias, Ngā Reo Irirangi Māori, collectively we serve as a monument to the demonstrated the courage during the critical Māori rights recognition period. And I think about 1970 right through to 1990 and the people that were involved in all of that mahi. Because when we think back, we're reminded around what Te Whakaruruha represents collectively for Māori stations and Māori language interests through the 21 iwi radio stations. And so that really drives us in our mahi.
You know, the first time I've ever been to a Māori radio broadcasting awards was here in Rotorua, and Te Hiku Media took out everything. I thought, who the heck are they? Te Hiku is from the furthest north you can go, and this tiny little radio station was winning all these awards. And that's when you first really came to my attention, because you had the respect of your peers. Marvellous. But I tell you what struck me about your presentation. Well, there were a couple of things. The first one was you really emphasised the mana, the status you gave to your kuia and kaumātua, that you collected their kōrero, and then you began digitising your collection. And the second thing that I suppose segued into was the fact that you were one of 4 national data science projects that were awarded $14 million. And I just thought, wow, it was such a striking moment to hear. You know, not only were you a domestic data science project to get an award, but you're not a university. I mean, you know, this doesn't happen. Not a university, and on top of that, the Māori. And on top of that, you're from the sticks. You know, as you say, you know, often, you know, you see a pākehā, you say, oh, did you see that pākehā? Because it's such a Māori population where you come from. So I think it really is a tribute. So, you know, can you just, firstly, who is Te Hiku? You know, who makes it, who are the tribes that make up Te Hiku? And how did you get to a point where you can win a National Data Science Project?
Well, I tīmata te reo irirangi o te hiko o te ika I te tau ko tahi mano iwa rau. So we started off in 1990. And we are we're the iwi media hub of Ngāti Kuri, Te Aupouri, Ngāi Takoto, Te Rārawa, and Ngāti Kahu. And those are the five iwi of Te Hiko Te Ika. And so we're very much connected with our tiriti o Waitangi background, but before Te Tiriti o Waitangi, we've always had our whakapapa ki te whenua, our whakapapa ki te moana, and our whakapapa ki te rangi. And so we've taken that understanding and worked with our whānau hapū and iwi to broadcast in te reo Māori, not unlike other iwi radio stations. What our values are values that we share with other iwi radio stations, tino rangatiratanga, mana motu hake, kaitiakitanga, manaakitanga, but we're very much focused on the kaitiakitanga. And that's because over the last 30 years, we've been corpus gathering, interviewing our kuia and kaumātua about what matters to them. And the beautiful thing about it is we've managed to capture that information in te reo Māori, but also bilingually. And essentially, we decided to consider how to apply our values in data governance, in data management, and data access. And that was the pathway that we chose to take in 2014. And we embarked on cutting-edge data science. And that data science was basically teaching computers how to speak Māori. And so Te Hiku Media, we applied to MBE and we pitched an idea of a language platform for multilingual Aotearoa. And led by Te Hiku Media, you know, our research will lead and continues to lead revitalization in machine learning for indigenous languages of Aotearoa. And I say that because there are many different reo in Aotearoa. Kei kona anō te reo kahumuni, kei kona anō te reo Ngāti Porou, kei kona te reo Ngāi Tahu. And our reo, of course, is very much encouraged and spoken by those people that grew up in the haukainga, the various haukainga of Te Hiko Te Ika. And our proposal, it aimed to establish a multilingual language platform. And most recently, we've been developing natural language processing tools, speech to text and text to speech. But what we did was make sure that we had completed and achieved something before we applied for the nearly $14 million grant. And that grant or that award, of course, is allocated over 7 years of this data science project. We were first supported by Kahau. I'm not sure if you recall the Kahau funding, but the Kahau funding was part of the claims for 4G, and of course there was 3G. So that was the Kahau funding, and it was an important kaupapa where $30 million of pūtea was set aside for allocation for Māori technology projects with a focus on te reo and tikanga Māori. And for us, it was a special opportunity to pitch an idea. And it was called the Digital Technology Development Fund, from what I recall. And that was in 2015, 2016. And it was really about Māori economic development by stimulating Māori participation in what was or then largely described as the ICT sector. We pitched an idea to them, And we started to work with our community to gather the data necessary, acoustic data and text data, to develop a language model, and also to develop our speech-to-text tool, which worked at that stage at about a 13 or 12% error rate, which meant that almost 90% of the time it was correct. And there was about 10% of the time that it was incorrect. And so for us, that was a huge achievement. And we piggybacked on that success because that support through the Kahau Fund provided an opportunity for us to show the world that we could do it. Māori people. We didn't need a white knight in shining armor to come and do it for us. In fact, nobody could do it better than the people that knew the reo and knew engineering, had a physics background and a maths background, and were innovators in their own right. No one could do it like an iwi radio station could do, because every day we are dealing with the phonetical aspects of te reo Māori through our broadcasting stream. And so each and every one of us were reminded of our roots as we embarked on this project. And we thought back and we remembered those that had supported us, because part of our growing was also regional television broadcasting. And it was our cousin Hone Haruira who secured our regional television broadcasting license. There was, of course, the digital switchover. The digital switchover meant that analog television was no longer a thing. And so we reinvented ourselves and adapted to the new policy framework for regional television broadcasting, and it became regional media broadcasting. And we started to develop content that included live video streaming, the return of the hoku leo for Uncle Hector Busby. We started to live video stream tangihanga. We started to live video stream from Waitangi in ways that we hadn't previously broadcast live from Waitangi. We were using our phones to live video stream content before it was available on Facebook. So we were always leading our own style and leading our own trend. But we were always making sure that we were not one-trick ponies, because we knew that being so far away from Wellington, being so far away from Auckland, we had to be more and we had to want more and we had to inspire one another. And so we worked closely with one another in our development work. We have a very, very active platform, tehiku.nz, and we also developed the Whare Kōrero app. The reason that we developed the Whare Kōrero app is we had been saving our money, just quietly saving our money as an organisation, hoping to one day build an amazing studio. We then were reminded by our kuia and kaumātua that we had 47 marae in our broadcasting area. In every marae as a place where we can broadcast hui, we can broadcast kōrero, and we can empower and enable our own whānau to tell their stories. And so we took that on board and spoke with our late uncle, the Sir Hekenuku Mai Puhipi, and we said, "Uncle, we want to build a big marae in the sky." He goes, "Do it." And so what we did is we decided to develop a platform that was a whare kōrero, an online whare kōrero. We decided to pivot quickly, and instead of investing in bricks and mortar, we invested in digital real estate. And so that digital real estate includes our assets. Our assets, which is our digital platform, tehiku.nz, the Whare Kōrero, which provides access to the 21 iwi radio station live feeds every day from anywhere in the world. that's also a place where people
I love it.
see the smorgasbord. The smorgasbord that is iwi content. And so those were the beginning steps, but we now hope to do more. And one of the priorities for us is to continue working with our kura in the way that we broadcast manu kōrero, in the way that we broadcast kapahaka, and with our local communities when we broadcast the grand final for our local rugby competitions.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. But look, I tell you, the thing that really blew me away listening to you at our symposium was kaituhi. I mean, that's next level, to actually develop a synthetic voice in te reo Māori. It was like, wow, that set me back, especially when you played it. And it sounded terrific.
Yes. Yes, so kaituhi.nz is our automatic transcription tool for te reo Māori. You can upload content, and it will transcribe that automatically. So it's not a translation system. Well, it isn't so much that it translates voice into text. But we, as you have correctly mentioned, Auntie, we have invented a synthetic voice. And if people want to check that out, they can go to our platform, papareo.io. And papareo.io provides access to our speech-to-text prototype, our text-to-speech prototype, which is essentially you can type things in te reo Māori and it'll convert that into a voice. And so for us, that's been great. We've since found out that people are typing things into it to learn how to better pronounce Māori words. And that was an eye-opener for us because we had not intended for the synthetic voice to be used in that way. But what we found was that people started to that had started a Māori language journey wanted to know how they could move from the maunga to the maunga. And and they find these tools helpful on their journey to speaking with a Māori pronunciation. And that's been an amazing achievement for us to learn that there is a whole cohort out there that want to improve their Māori language pronunciation. Most of these people that have contacted us for pronunciation support, of course, are Pākehā. They're not Māori, and they want to improve their pronunciation. And, well, we know that pronunciation is so important when speaking Māori because any single word, of course, can have many different meanings. And we also know that when somebody makes an effort to pronounce te reo Māori correctly, it suggests that they have respect for the reo. And when somebody has respect for the reo, it suggests that they have respect for the tikanga. And if they have respect for the reo and the tikanga, it goes without saying that hopefully they might develop respect for the people of this land, tangata whenua.
Yeah.
And if they have respect for tangata whenua, then we are helping in the efforts that we must all help in to disestablish white systems of power and structural racism that that exists in many of the parts of the machinery of government. So that's kind of a little bit about the work that we do, Auntie. But the rongo app, like kaituhi and like whare kōrero, is another digital asset that we've developed at Te Hiku Media. And it takes our learnings from the synthetic voice feedback, and we took those learnings and decided to tag and label pronunciation data. So when we listen to our kuia and kaumātua, they have a particular pronunciation. And we aspire to restore native sound, because when we think about how the pronunciation of our language has been impacted by Te Reo Pākehā, and of course the dominant language that is around us, which is Te Reo Pākehā, it has impacted on how we produce Māori sounds. And I'm talking about Aotearoa whānui. And so we're hoping to enable people to use these tools, like the Rongo app, for automatic feedback on their pronunciation. And rather than telling people they got it wrong, what we do is we emphasize instead the areas that improvement is required. And in that way, we're celebrating what people have got right, but also taking on board that for a lot of people, particularly if they're our own Māori people, there's trauma associated with not being able to speak our language. Yeah. And some people feel inadequate because they might not be able to speak our language as proficiently as they might like to. And so in the privacy of their own experience, without feeling judged, they can access Rongo on their Android or their Apple phone. Just go to the App Store, look for Rongo, download it. We have 24 lessons in the app, and it starts off with the basic sounds, pitika, mininga, wirahe, and the hu, and then, of course, a, e, I, o, u, and the long sounds, a, e, I, o, u, and then the diphthongs, which is when two vowels follow one another. Like we hear people say maunga. Well, it's not supposed to be maunga. We prefer maunga. But how do we encourage people to replace that ow sound with the o sound? And we take them on a journey where they learn how to do that.
Now, look, you know how you want to, you know, you need to build this big studio and you've got a few big visionary things that you need to do. It did occur to me when I was listening to the whole text-to-speech, you know, that whole segment of your what you're talking about, is that someone's going to come along and see that this is possible and actually do it. And I thought, is there a way that you can, you know, monetize it so that, you know, for, and I suppose balancing it so that it's cheap enough for people to, ordinary people to afford, but sufficient so that you can, you know, use it to keep doing this kind of work, because you are so far ahead of anyone. And I go to most hui and hear what's happening, and it was such a thrill to hear you talk about where you've come from, you know, 1990 to 2023, and you're really pushing the boundaries for all of us. But, you know, there also has to be a way that Te Hiku can benefit from this financially, because it's a service that people will want. And once you get it to the point where you are happy with it to monetize it, then, you know, could I ask you to give consideration to that?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I totally agree, because like anything, things need to be able to wipe their own face. And we've found that things do cost money. And whilst we have our data science, you know, domestic data science project, you know, one of four in Aotearoa, it's very much research-based. And whilst it is research-based, we're focused on producing results that can move into the hands of our people. Mm-hmm. Now, with the text-to-speech and the speech-to-text, we're hoping to get these things onto device. And we're hoping to be able to make these things available. And so we are looking to strategically partner with those that can assist us on that journey. which is to commercialize these, but still make sure that the people that had the language beaten out of their mouths are not having a service for that language sold back to them. So there are some big questions there. And when we think about how we can make that happen, we're looking at how this can be used for automatic captioning in Te Reo Māori, how these tools can be put on device for our whānau that are non-verbal and use assistive technology to communicate. And when we think about our disabled whānau that speak Māori, we're also thinking about our whānau that are pāpō, that are without the ability to read, and so screen readers, all those sorts of things. But we're also mindful that we speak bilingually. Ka huri ahau ki te reo Māori, ka tuku ai ahau etahi whakaaro I roto I te reo Māori, ka tahi ka hoki anō ahau ki te reo Pākehā. And then I start speaking in English again. And when we have the ability to code switch and have technology that also can transcribe code switching, it opens up so many new ways of thinking, but also new ways of solving problems. And so behind all of that is our Indigenous data sovereignty focus. And Indigenous data sovereignty in language processing and technology platforms, especially in the area of Māori language revitalization, is an area that Te Hiku Media has a very, very strong position on. And I think that's because we hold in high esteem our relationship with our various haukainga and our community connection. And the governance of Māori data on behalf of Māori communities compels us as an iwi radio station to advocate strongly for its protection now and into the future. When we think about ChatGPT and all these chatbots and question and answer type technologies, we're also reminded of the risks involved in making large quantities of Māori data available to others that work in the area of artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Because if we were to consider artificial intelligence in the work that the Ministry of Justice do, or the court system, well, anyone with a Māori name would probably end up in jail for turning around the wrong way. But there's a lot of risk there, because when we look at data from the government, sometimes it's very much focused on the deficit. And whilst we talk about data sovereignty from a Te Reo Māori perspective, there's so many different elements to data sovereignty, artificial intelligence, and of course, machine learning. We kind of stick to our knitting in so much as Māori language revitalization and speech technologies or Māori speech science is concerned. But we keep ourselves abreast, Auntie, of the other artificial intelligence that are being developed. And we believe that there are forms of artificial intelligence and, of course, machine learning that must always be Māori-led. And it's important for us to retain control of those spaces, because I always refer to it as digital real estate. And if we're not developing our digital real estate portfolios as whānau, hapu, and iwi, you can bet your bottom dollar Pākehā are doing it.
And, absolutely.
And that's why I'm really focused on doing exactly what you say, which is finding a way to commercialize these things, but in a way that enables them to wipe their own face and to make their own breakfast. So that they can pay for one for the ongoing develop and pay for the use of the service, but also partnering with Cambridge University, we're partnering with Oxford University, and we're also partnering with Mozilla at the moment, And later on this year, in November, we will be hosting a Māori Data Futures conference, and we're hoping to hold that at Te Aurere, at the place that our kaumātua and our rangatira, Heke Nuku Mai Pūhipi, resided, and where stands the Star Camp and the whare there. And that's where we're hoping to bring people together to have a wider discussion about what the future looks like.
Absolutely. My goodness, I am so happy that you're in the space, because it is nerve-wracking to see what is happening in that artificial intelligence, the chat to GTP or whatever, you know, and you just think, I just hope someone's got their eyes on it, and I'm so happy you are. Can you make sure, my dear, to send me some info on that conference? Because I do think this whole data futures issue and the issue about digital real estate, I mean, viewing it from that perspective is important. I've run out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodnight to you and goodnight to our listeners. I was actually going to give them an overview of my concerns. I'll tell you what, I'm just writing up the report, and what I've come to realise is the obstacles to our achieving our goals are enormous, and so I've actually written them out. It's taken me a couple of days, but it's really quite shocking reading when you see how little progress we've made. As I became an activist 51 years ago, every big initiative that we've moved on has been, there's been major pushback on each of them. It's quite sad for me to be writing it for the last couple of days, and I was going to talk about that, but I've run out of time. But Peter, thank you so much, Peter Lucas Jones, for joining me tonight, and I hope to talk to you again before I see you in November at that conference. So good night to you, Peter, and ka kite anō to our viewers. See you next week.
Ai, kia ora whaia, ngā mihi nui ki a koutou katoa.